And you may be seated. If you have a copy of the Word of God, take it with me and turn to 1 Samuel and chapter number 22. 1 Samuel and chapter number 22. We read together Psalm 62, a Psalm of David, and we pray that the Lord would help us to see the thoughts and prayers of David and encouragements that come in the time in which we find in 1 Samuel 22. We'll read just a few verses here together. And the Word of God says this: David therefore departed thence and escaped to Cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab. And he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. Pause our reading there. And for a few moments this morning, I pray the Lord would encourage us to think of Cave Adullam's captain. Cave Adullam's captain. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to Thee. We ask You to please open Thy Word and help us to see Thyself. Lord, we know that Thy Word was inspired and preserved to us that You might reveal Yourself unto us. And Lord, I pray for each one that is here, for the message of God to be very clear unto each of them. And Lord, unto me as well, Lord, I pray that You would fill my mouth with Thy words and not my own. Help us now for these few moments as we look at Thy Word together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Cave Adullam was a place of escape. We can recognize a bit of application of this place David ran to when remembering Beecher's Road's first name. This was Cave Adullam Baptist Chapel, and we see it above the doors up at the front at the peak, and this was the original name of this church. You say, why would you name a church after and such a place as a cave in some way? And I think there are many great and encouraging applications that come from a place where people gathered here in 1 Samuel 22 that were in a difficulty. And we pray that the application of this place that we see here for a few moments would encourage us and the church and place that God has given each of us to come. And may the Lord help us as we recognize as well that there was a captain amongst these that at Cave Adullam, and how that God encouraged and David's leadership amongst these different ones that were in a place of difficulty. By God's providential plan, the cave would not be a destination, but a stepping stone to God's plan to have David as king. It's very important this morning, if you can remember that when thinking of this cave. Because when we think of this cave, it was a place where people who were discouraged came to. But it was never intended to be the destination of these people, but simply it was a stepping stone to what God had for them to do. That's a very important thing to remember. Sometimes when we come to a difficult place in our life, we feel like that's where the Lord has left us. And that's where the God has just kept us to that difficult place, and here we are on our own now, and this is where we are at. This is our destination. But for a believer and those who follow God, the difficult places and the caves in which we may come to in our life are simply a stepping stone for the great things that God has for us in the days to come. We're encouraged by this. The cave had many lessons to teach David and his followers. We would see them coming back and forth to this cave many times, and his followers. But one main event that took place was here in these few verses, where David became captain over 400 men that came to stand with him. This number would later grow, and out of these men would come David's mighty men, and many different ones that would fight for the cause of God and God's plan in this way, and would follow David in many different ways. But this captain over 400 men began here. So who did David become captain over? We recognize here in verse number 1, the Bible says this, David therefore departed thence and escaped to Cave Adullam, and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. So David became captain over, even his family gathered in. And to be captain is to lead people to follow what God is doing. That's very important. God is calling each believer and each one who is a true follower of the Lord. May we be encouraged to understand that we ought to be each leading others to follow God. We ask ourselves that question. If you're a Christian here today, who are you leading to follow God? Who are you leading to follow God? This is what the call of a captain is to do, a leader, a Christian leader is to do. Our family, we see, should be a priority in that. We see the first ones to come into this cave were his own family. And how wonderful it is to see that his family was with him in a place that where it could have been a very dark and a lonely place in a cave, his family was with him. And how much easier it is when your family is with you. And I pray for many that are here that have unsaved loved ones and family members. And I know that you're praying for them. Continue to pray that the Lord will help them to see the truth and that they'll come to Christ and be saved. Continue to pray. Do not give up on that. Continue to pray for your lost loved ones that they might be saved. May we understand it is much easier to fight for the Lord if your family is with you. It's a very difficult thing if your family is not with you. And so may the Lord ever help us to see this. And his family came. But also, there's others that came. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. It was a real motley crew, you could say. I mean, can you imagine? And we think of David's mighty men, and we think of David's armies, and that would later and fight for him. They didn't begin this way. And they began, and they were quite a group of people. They were distressed, in debt, and discontented. And now, that's not typically the kind of army that you want to build with. That's not typically the kind of defenses that you want to be able to have in that way. Do not miss the kind of people that David's army began with. It was not put together with those who had everything in place and those who were confident, those who had everything in order in their life. This was not those who came unto David in this cave during this time. And that opens the door for us to understand God's opportunity to follow our captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not looking for your life to be put together. He's looking for your life to be put in his hands. He's looking for your life to be surrendered unto the Lord in this way. He's not looking for all those who have just, I've got everything sorted in my life. And those are the kind of people that don't come to God for strength and help. And God cannot be glorified in that life. Here we cannot miss this. And in Matthew chapter 9, we're thinking of missions coming up here, and we think of these praying for laborers. But notice these verses previous to that in Matthew 9 and verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. We can see a very similar thought and idea here as the Lord Jesus looked upon the multitudes, distressed, in debt, and discontented. And here the Bible says that they fainted and scattered abroad, a sheep not having a shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. In other words, he saw all of these ones that were in need, and then he turned to his disciples and he says, what are you going to do about it? Are we going to, where do we begin? We need to pray. And we need laborers in God's work. I'm thankful that God and does not leave the concern and all the distress just to set aside and say, you know what? Well, there's nothing we can do for them. No, God appointed a captain over them. And I want us to pray and to really consider as a Christian and person, if you're a true believer in the Lord, God gives us a responsibility for those around us to lead to follow Christ. And here God looked to his disciples and said, what are you going to do about these multitudes? Well, we need to pray. We need to pray for laborers. May the Lord, more than ever, the Christian faith is missing leaders to point others to the Good Shepherd. People who will stand for what is right and point others to the Lord. For David to be king was not of his own choosing, but by God's guidance and will, his position was a place of service, not tyranny. It would be good to remind ourselves of this. Leadership is not something of a place of exaltation. Leadership is an opportunity to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A true leader exalts God, exalts the Lord, because they recognize God's hand and placement in their life. We remember the events of the 5th of November, and we must recognize this was by the hand of God England was preserved in that day. Not because men found Guy Fawkes. God allowed that to be happen in that way. By him, all things consist. Reminded of these passages in the Scripture, and we do well to remember the authority that is established by God. In Romans chapter 13, in verse number 1, the Scripture says this, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are be ordained are the powers that be are ordained of God. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5. The Scriptures tell us this in the Word of God. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 5. The Scriptures say, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. We see the spirit of a true leader is humility. Because we're humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, but we're submitting ourselves to the service of the Lord. To lead others to follow God. It's the exaltation of God. We see it amongst families even. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1. And I've been very thankful for Ezra and Judah been working hard on this Bible verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And our children must be encouraged that there is authority that God has placed in their life. It's not parents saying, well, you've got to listen to me. No, it's parents should be guiding their children to say, we need to listen to the Lord. We need to listen to God. It's the fear of the Lord that brings wisdom to a family. And sometimes leadership can be misunderstood in people's lives, and people fight against authority because people have taken authority for people to look upon themselves. But we must recognize the hand of God that was upon David. David wasn't drawing people to him in this cave that he might lead them to follow him. For that very reason, we would find later on he would pour out that water that those brave men went to get for him and brought it back to that cave. And he said, don't risk your lives for me. Give glory to God. And in the same way, we need leaders who are willing to humbly serve the Lord and guide others to remember there's God-given authority in our lives that helps us and leads us on to follow the Lord. Authority is under attack today. And we must see it is an attack of God's authority. We must recognize this. We must connect the two. Disrespect to teachers and parents and disrespect to authority and authorities in government and all of these types of things. Now, granted, there are many times when people fail and authorities fail. But that's why our eyes are fixed in authority upon the Lord and not that person. We must recognize our, because of bad leadership, Christians oftentimes are too shy to lead people today. But the Lord must help his people who have the truth of God's word to be willing to be captain, to willing to take God's word and take it to the lost, and to let people know Jesus Christ is the one you must follow. And there's an interesting thing, almost a shyness today. Well, I don't want, you know, and you'll find this under some Christian groups. And they'll say, well, I don't want to tell people that they're wrong. I don't want to tell people that they need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just let them figure it out on their own. How dangerous and how vile of a lie that we have led ourselves to believe that we should not warn the lost in love and humility to our God who loved them and humbled himself to save them. God has given us a precious responsibility to warn the lost that they might be saved. Oh, may the Lord ever help us to see that if we leave the sheep to do whatever they want to do, they're going to continue to be scattered with no shepherd. The Lord must encourage each of us to lead them to the Good Shepherd, that they might be led to the Savior. Oh, may the Lord ever help us this way. Who did David become captain over? No doubt it was the distressed. No doubt it was the discontented. This distressed, indebted, discontented need leadership to follow God. Who can care for them and bring their situation around? Our families and homes need captains and leaders. We need strong fathers who are willing to stand for God and lead with the Word of God in the home. Mothers who are willing to follow God's order and willingness to be able to lead their children to the Lord. I'm thankful for these examples that we do have from time to time, but may the Lord ever help us to be more like our Savior in these opportunities to lead. We see something else. What was the common ground in this cave? They were all coming together in the cave, and David was to be captain over them, but they all had a common ground, a common place. Verse number 12, we find David was laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid and then ran to the cave. He was fearful in verse number 12 of the last chapter. And then we see in verse number 2, and they were in distress and in debt and discontented. And we might say, well, their common ground was their distress. And this would only leave them burdened. We must recognize that the common ground of God's people and His church is not our distress. The common ground that we have is not the fact that we all have been kicked to the curb or we've gone through a bad time or we've had a difficulty in our life. We must see that there was something greater that God was gathering His people to do than just to talk about our problems. There was something greater than God was doing for us to come together and just trying to, I can share with this, and this is all the problems I've had this week, and this is all the problems I've had. And if they would have done that in that cave, they wouldn't have done anything. Can you imagine how discouraged they would have been if they would have just all come together in the cave and just sit sulk and soured? And just talking about all their discontentment with Saul the king. This was not the will. Psalm 27 encourages us in the Psalm of David, and we see there the real intent and the common ground in which they had. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though the host should be encamped against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Do you notice the focus there, the common ground that they had, that they might seek God, that they might seek the Lord? You know, one of the wonderful things about God's church, it's a room filled with seeking people. And it's not a people that are finding a common ground in their distress, but a common ground in their seeking and whom they are seeking. I wonder, we see their fellowship was not a place where they were, but their fellowship was in where they were going and who they were seeking after. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 16 describes God's church as strangers and foreigners who have gathered themselves in the household of God. And now we're seeking for that, as it says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 10. And the Word of God says there, describing His saints in times past. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 10, the Word of God says these words: "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." We see this description of Abraham, who left his own home, and he was seeking for a better country, whose builder and maker was God. You see, the common ground in this cave was the king that was on the throne had been rejected. And no doubt we see in this world that the king of this world, the God ruler of this world, and the devil himself is seeking whom he may devour. But it may we understand he might be a ruler of this world, but one day we will see him no more. One day we'll see his works no more. We also see David's kingdom would soon come. And in that same thought, as they're there in that cave thinking of Saul's leading, but one day David would be king, there was hope in their heart in the cave. In that cave, their hearts would well up with hope, not because of the situation they were in, because where they would be. And I wonder, where is our hope? Has our hope failed because we are putting our faith in what we are in now? In the situation that we are in this world? The things around us? Or is our hope in the things that are to come? And our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom that will rule and reign forever and ever. In these thoughts we can understand the cave was just a stepping stone to God's great plan. It was not a destination. It was only the beginning of what God was doing. In closing here, what was their captain's concern? Look together with me in verse number 3. The Bible says this in 1 Samuel 22, verse 3. "And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me." Now all of these, David and his 400 men, these have now separated themselves from the rule of a rejected king. And now they have submitted themselves to the anointed King David. I wonder, and I ask each one this morning as we look at this last thought, have you repented and turned from the rule of sin and Satan in your life? Or are you still underneath his reign and the rule of sin? Oh, repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin, was buried, and rose again that we might be alive and free from this world in this way of sin. If so, we have been separated unto God. I wonder, have you taken the time to submit yourself unto the Lord for God's rule in your life? May we understand that as they come together in this cave, they were not only separating themselves from Saul and the rule of this world, but they were submitting themselves to David and God's anointed king and under God's hand. But here is the chief's concern, this captain's concern. It says this in the end of verse number 3. "I pray thee come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me." Do you know what David's chief concern was as a captain? To know what God will do. To know the will of the Lord. To follow God must determine to know what the will of the Lord is. And in this cave, we step out having faith in God to do just what His will is. You say, the cave is a great place to be able to come. And many people, times we come discontented, in debt, we come distressed. But with an opportunity to look to our captain with great hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, and remember the great plan that He has, and remember that we've come together to know what the will of the Lord is, that we might step out in faith and do it. This is a great place for a church to be able to do that. To be able to come together and hear the Word of God and to determine, what does God have to say to me to do? What does God want me to do with my life? He doesn't want us to stay in debt and discontented and distressed. He wants me to know what the will of God is, that we can step forward through those doors when we leave today and do that which is obedient to Christ and honor Him and lift Him up and live for the kingdom that is to come and not the kingdoms of this world. Oh, may we see that this place is just a stepping stone for God's great plan in our life. This is where we're just a passing through. And I pray that God would encourage each of His believers to see this is not a place, this is not a destination for us. But this is a place where God's church is encouraged, challenged, and reminded to have faith in God and to go forth into His kingdom and for His kingdom. May the Lord ever help us to see the Cave Adullam's captain and the leadership to follow God. And none else.